The goal of my life is to know God better today than I did yesterday, and better tomorrow than I do today. So everything I do has that as its purpose.
And you can know God. You can have a friend relationship with Him. But as Ann Graham Lotz points out in her message today on Living in the Light, it's a journey, a process. Here's Ann.
I think sometimes we're afraid of death because we don't know exactly what's on the other side and we don't know who's going to be meeting us. But when you have a personal, permanent relationship with Jesus, it takes the fear of death away. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And when I close my eyes here, I open them to His face. I long to see Jesus. Then I know something of what to expect on the other side, except that the Bible says, even with your best imagination, you couldn't imagine what it's like. Eyes not seen, mind can't even comprehend. It's just way beyond human understanding what He's preparing for those who love Him. And the relationship is not only personal, but the relationship is a permanent relationship. Jesus said, I've come to give them eternal life. And listen to me, if you could lose it, it wouldn't be eternal, right? So don't let anybody tell you that once you receive Jesus by faith as your Savior and you receive eternal life, that you can lose eternal life. If you could lose it, it wouldn't be eternal. And you could do nothing to deserve it, right? All you had to do was receive it. So there wasn't of any good works that you did. You just received it as a free gift from God. So what makes you think you could do anything to lose it? You can't. So He says, I've come to give them eternal life. When you receive Jesus by faith as your Savior, He gives you eternal life. And eternal life is forever. It's life that never ends. It's not even interrupted by death. Death is just when your faith becomes sight. And your eyes are closed and then they're open to the face of Jesus. Jesus said, the relationship that I'm offering you, that I'm inviting you to enter into, is a personal relationship, but it's a permanent relationship. It's eternal. You can look forward to going to heaven. He said, thirdly, it's a privileged relationship. He said, this is eternal life, that they might know you. And the word He uses for know is the same word that's used, as I understand it, for the intimate relationship between a husband and wife. So it's a very personal, in fact, Jesus is sort of ratcheting it up a little bit, isn't it? Because it's not just personal and it's not just permanent. Now He's implying that it's an intimate relationship, that we can know God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, in not just a personal, permanent relationship, but an intimate friendship, like that between the dearest husband and wife, you know. I'm married young. By the time I was 25, I had 3 children, 5, 3, and 10 months old. And they're about the ages of my grandchildren now. And I was so busy, 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 busy. Any young mothers here? You know, little tiny clothes, little tiny toys, little tiny people, little tiny words, little tiny sticky fingerprints everywhere. And I was so busy, I stayed so tired that I just neglected God. I didn't pray. I didn't read my Bible. Went to church. And I mean, I read my Bible, but you know, you're so tired, you can't concentrate. And when you pray and close your eyes, you just go right to sleep. And in church, you're just yawning. You're thinking of all the things you've got to do when you get home. And plus, Sunday used to be the worst day of the, you know, isn't that awful? But they all fight on the way to church. And you have to go looking so nice when you get there. And it's just, oh, what a mess. And so I longed for God in the relationship I'd had when I was a girl. You know, I had received Him by faith when I was little, and I'd grown in that relationship when I was 16. Nothing triggered it, but I just knelt on the floor of my bedroom, and it occurred to me that when I stood before God, I had thought up until then, you know, I could tell Him who my daddy was, and He'd say, Ann, you know, well done. And then it occurred to me that when I stood before God, I'd stand all by myself. And I'd give an account to Him for what I had done, and I hadn't done anything. And so I knelt down, and I surrendered my life to Him for service. And then I got married, had the children, just neglected Him, drifted from Him. I didn't mean to. I was just tired and busy and got so homesick for God. Somebody told me about Bible study fellowship, and I thought, you know, that's what I want. I want to be in a Bible study every day when I'm studying the Scriptures. And maybe if I was in a group and I was held accountable and I had to do my lesson, you know, that would keep me in God's Word and somebody could teach me. And Nobody would start the class. And so there wasn't even a class on the East Coast. And so I decided, I'm leaving a lot of details, but I decided that I would start the class and teach the class because I wanted to be in the class so badly. And God was so gracious, he gave me a whole class filled with women, 500 women. That's when I used to throw up, you know. But 500 women that had never been in a Bible study before, so they didn't know I couldn't teach. So we all just learned together. And that first year I taught Genesis. And we came to Genesis chapter 12, in the beginning of that biography of Abraham. And Abraham walked right off the page into my life. And I decided in my study of Abraham, he was such an ordinary man. And yet he became extraordinary. One of the giants in history, maybe one of the greatest men in all of human history, outside of Jesus and the Apostle Paul. I mean, who's greater than Abraham? And the reason he's great is because God called Abraham to follow him in a life of faith, and Abraham left everything and followed God, one step at a time. And he failed, and he fell on his face, and he sinned, and he did some dreadful things. But do you know something? At the end of his life, he pursued God for 100 years. He left at 75. By the way, you think you're too old to pursue more of Jesus? You think you're too old to really be a disciple? He started at age 75, and for 100 years, he pursued Jesus in the person of God. But Jesus actually said Abraham saw his day, so we know he saw something there. But he pursued knowing God. And in the end of his life, God said of Abraham, three times in Scripture, God said, Abraham is my friend. If I told you that the President of the United States was my friend, you'd sort of chuckle and you'd be right, you know. If the President walked in here and said, Ann Lotz is my friend, now that's impressive. Abraham didn't say, God is my friend. God said, Abraham is my friend. And right there, my first year teaching the Bible in Genesis, studying the life of Abraham, I set that as my life's goal. And I set out to know God in a relationship that one day God would acknowledge as a friendship. And it's a journey. It's a process. And I'm here to tell you, I'm not doing ministry to be in ministry. And I don't write books to have my name on a cover. And I don't do a video series so that people can see who Ann Lotz is. And I'm not about making money. I'm not about even being a mother or a wife or a friend. The goal of my life is to know God better today than I did yesterday and better tomorrow than I do today. So everything I do has that as its purpose. So when he calls me to get out of my comfort zone, like stand in front of these cameras or go to India and speak to some stadium or just go across the street and speak to my neighbor and share the gospel with somebody I see every day, you know, when he calls me to do something like that, I do it because I want to see what he can do through this weak, cracked clay pot if I just yield my life to him. I want to know his power out there on the surface of the water when the waves are high and I'm walking by faith alone. I want to know what he can do. And you know something? If you don't get out of your boat, you'll never know the fullness of who God is. You'll be limited in your understanding of the dimension of the power of God and his faithfulness and his goodness. And what a privilege to know God like that. And so Jesus says, Ann, I'm inviting you to enter into a personal love relationship. One that's permanent, you'll never lose it. Other friends come and go, never lose this one. And it's a privilege. You can know my Father and myself and my Spirit on an intimate level. You know something? I can accomplish that goal. I can work on that goal. Doesn't matter if I'm sick or if I'm well. Doesn't matter if I'm rich or if I'm poor. Doesn't matter if I'm imprisoned or if I'm free. Doesn't matter if I'm popular or if I'm being attacked. It just doesn't matter, does it? Any day, any time, wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, I can pursue my goal of knowing God. And so he allows the circumstances in my life that encourage me and grow me up in that goal. And it's wonderful because it doesn't come and go with the stock market. It doesn't come and go with my friends. It doesn't come and go with my feelings. It's a permanent goal that I believe when I reach the end of my life, I'm going to be glad I set. I want to stand before God and have him acknowledge that Ann is my friend. Can't think of anything more wonderful. And Jesus said, I'm inviting you to enter into this privileged relationship that's also purposeful. There's a purpose to it. And Jesus implies this at the end when he says, Father, I have completed the work you gave me to do. So right there, that tells me that Jesus had a work to do, that God had a purpose for his life. And when he died, he cried out, it is finished. So he had finished, and he says right here, I've completed the work you gave me to do. Now think about it for a moment. There were still a lot of blind people who needed sight, and a lot of deaf people who needed to hear, a lot of lame people who needed to walk, a lot of lepers that needed to be cleansed, a lot of dead people that needed to be raised. But he said he'd finished God's work for him. So you know what that tells me? One thing it tells me, that his purpose is not to make everyone healthy, wealthy, prosperous, problem-free. There's something bigger going on here. And God's purpose for Jesus, he said he was born to die, that he had come to live on this earth to show us exactly what God is like and to show us how we could live in a life that's pleasing to God. And then he gave his life as God's sacrifice for my sin. And he poured out his blood and his broken body in order to take God's judgment for me. And his purpose was to redeem me from my sin, to reconcile me to the Father, to forgive me of my sin, to open heaven's door for me. And he said, I finished it. What an incredible thing. And you know, the only way he was able to finish it is because he was focused 24/7. It wasn't an accident. This isn't something that just fell into his lap. He was very intentional in the way he spent his time, in the people he talked to, what he did. So this tells me several things. One, it tells me that God has a plan and purpose for my life. And he has a plan and purpose for your life. And I think the grander overarching purpose is that he wants me to know him and to make him known. And that's his purpose for you also. Your purpose is to know him in a wonderful relationship and to enjoy him and to bring him glory by making him known to other people. And so that's the overarching purpose. But inside of there, there can be specific purposes that are tailored just for you and just for me. Ephesians 2:10 says that we were created for good works that are preordained by God. So let's apply this to you. What is God's purpose for you? The overarching purpose is that you might know him and you might make him known. And then within that, what is his specific plan and purpose for you? Do you know that? He has one for you. So look into your life's experience, because God doesn't waste anything, you know? So what you have been through, it's not an accident. So think about what your experience. Have you had alcoholic parents? Maybe he would in some way open up an opportunity for you to help those who suffer in the same way. Do you have an abusive husband? Have you been through a divorce? Maybe he would send you out to somebody else who's going through that living death. Maybe you have a handicap, and he wants to use that like he did the blind man, the man born blind, to bring glory to God. Maybe something with rebellious teenagers, or you've had an abortion, and your heart is broken for what you've been through, and God would use you to help other young women who are trying to make a decision and very often making the dead wrong choice. Maybe you have a homosexual child, and God would open your heart up to that community and want you to tell them the love of God. You know, I don't know what he's put in your life's experience, but you look into your life's experience and you just give everything to God and ask him then within the framework of who you are to give you opportunity not only to know him, but to make him known. And you just start moving out. Ask him to open doors of opportunity for you, to bring you people that you can share Christ with. And you know, it's sweet the way he sort of matches that experience with what I'm capable of. He doesn't bring me atheists and these hardcore people. He'll bring me people that, it's amazing, the very thing he said to me in my devotions, it's the very word they need to hear that day, or somebody who's seeking him, and I have a word to share with them. And so don't be afraid. You ask him to bring you the opportunity, and you may feel like you're over your heads, but he knows, he's wise enough to know to bring that person to you or whatever that situation is, because he knows you're the one that can best meet it And you can in some way invest in that person's life that he uses to draw the person to Christ. It doesn't mean that you, everybody you share with you, lead to faith in Jesus. It just means that you're one of the ones who's just working in that life, and God would use you to just begin to open up their heart. And maybe you'd have the privilege of praying with them, maybe you won't. Maybe it'll be somebody else. I think of that every time I have an opportunity to share Christ and they receive him by faith, and I wonder how many people have been in the background praying for them, witnessing to them, you know, telling them the things, and I just happen to be the one there at that moment. And then there are many times I share Jesus and I don't have a chance to pray with them, and I wonder who's going to have that privilege. You know, so just look into your life's experience. And while you're doing it, and while you're taking those opportunities, and while you're sharing Christ, you're growing in your knowledge of God, aren't you? What he can do in and through you when you make yourself available. I tell you the horror of my life. You know what my nightmare is? To stand before God and find that I missed what he had for me. I want to live my life in such a way that 5 minutes before I die, I have no regrets. Now, I know we're all going to have some regrets, so you understand what I mean. But I mean for the general direction of my life and my priorities and my goals. And if I'm going to finish God's purpose for my life, if I'm ever going to be able to say, I've completed the work you gave me to do, if I'm going to 5 minutes before I die, I have no regrets. You know something? I'm going to have to be intentional in the way I spend my time today. And I'm going to have to be intentional in the way I set my priorities and the way I spend my money. And it means I'm going to have to say no to more shopping and yes to more serving and no to more television watching and yes to more praying. So I have to say no to some things so that I can say yes to these things, so I can live my life 24/7 for Jesus, pursuing more of him. Listen, Jesus, I don't add him to my life. He is my life every moment of every day. And he determines the way I spend my time and my money and my goals and my priorities, my lifestyle. So the end of my life, I want to be able to say, Father, I finished what you gave me to do. I've completed the work that you had for me. 5 minutes before you die, what regrets will you have? Let's never mind yesterday. Starting from today until the end of your life, could you live your life in such a way that you have no regrets, or very few? At least minimize them, okay? And then Jesus said, Father, I want you to glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the worlds began. Think of the glory Jesus had with his Father before the worlds began. Jesus walked the winds of the earth. He hung the stars in space. He rotated the earth and set the planets where they are in orbit. And Jesus formed man from the dust of the ground. Jesus is the Lord of glory. He is the giver of life. Jesus is the rose of Sharon, the bright morning star. He is the pearl of great price in heaven, heaven's treasure. And Jesus thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because Jesus is God. And he got up from his throne and he took off his glory robes and he laid them aside and he humbled himself and he made himself of no reputation and he took on the form of a servant and he became obedient even to the death. And now he's saying, Father, I want my glory robes back. I want all the glory I had with you as a son of God before I came down here. But now I want also all the glory I've earned as the Son of Man, all the glory that I've earned as the Savior and the Redeemer and the Shepherd and all that we think of him in the Gospels. So I want all the glory of the Son of God and all the glory of the Son of Man. You know what he was praying? Oh, Father, I want more. I want everything you have for me. And that's the cry of my heart. I don't want to settle for less than everything God has for me. Listen to me. Why would you settle for less? Think about it for a minute. The sin that you're clutching, I can see it on some of your faces. The habit you won't let go of, the relationship. You know if you give yourself complete, if you surrender all, it's going to cost you. and you're hanging on to it, is it worth the trade-off? Because I'll tell you something, Abraham, actually his nephew, taught me lots. God may let you get what you want, and you'll end up with a lot less than God would have given you in the long run. And you can cling to that sin, and you can insist you have to have that relationship, and you can just say, I have to have what I want. You know how we do, and just have to have it, and you're just driven, compelled to have what you want, and you can get it, and God will let you get it. And in the end, you'll wind up with less than he would have given you. I want everything. I want all that he has to offer. I want the vaults of heaven to overflow with the treasures I've laid up. I want an abundant entrance into heaven. When I walk into heaven, I want the angels to stand and applaud Jesus because of what they've seen in the life of Ann Graham Lotz. So the cry of my heart is, dear Jesus, please give me more of your glory on my knees. You know what he said to me? Ann, I'll give you more of my glory on your knees, but you're going to have to get on your knees. And it's on your knees in prayer. As you read my word and let me speak to your heart, and as you talk back to me and we have this conversation, that you're going to enter into the inside, the core group, into a personal, permanent, privileged, purposeful relationship that will never end. Would you ask Jesus to give you more of his glory than get on your knees? Pray with me, please. Father, my heart is almost overwhelmed. Even while I describe what you are inviting us to enter into, my mind is filled with wonder. And I stand amazed at the fact you would love me that much. And I want to thank you humbly, gratefully. And I ask that the dear Holy Spirit, who loves to do this, would open the eyes of our hearts that we might see Jesus in a way we've never seen before, in all of his beauty, in all of his love, all of his tenderness, and see him looking at us with such compassion, knowing everything about us inside and out, and still loving us so much that he would throw open the door to the relationship he has with his Father and he has with his Spirit and invite us to enter in. Thank you, that as I pursue more of you, I find that you're pursuing more of me. And I gladly yield myself to your pursuit. You can have anything. You can have everything. I just lay myself down before you and invite you to help yourself to my life. Use me for your glory. And so, Lord, I would ask that that would be our prayer. That from this moment forward, you would draw us nearer to yourself until one day our faith becomes sight. We see you face to face, and we enter into the glory of our heavenly home. So we do love you, dear Father, and we love you, dear Jesus, and we love you, dear Holy Spirit, and we commit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.
You've been listening to Ann Graham Lotz on this week's edition of Living in the Light and her message, We Can Know God. It's Ann's desire that you know God intimately, that you know the Word of God fluently. And to help you, she's provided any number of free resources at anngrahamlotz.com. I invite you to read her daily blog. So much encouragement and vulnerability from her heart to yours in your walk with God. I hope you'll plan to join us here again next week for Living in the Light, to know God better today than you did yesterday, and better tomorrow than you do today.